We're going to talk about kindling wood this morning. He says, I am come to send a fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? Our Lord came in order to set the world on fire, and I think all of us would agree this morning that it is certainly on fire today. We have stage fire, we have strange fire, we have satanic fire, but not much spirit fire. It has been said that the church has become a field for evangelism instead of a force for evangelism. We say that we depend on the Spirit of God, but actually we're so wired up anymore in this modern society with our own devices that if the fire does not fall from heaven, we can turn on a switch and produce fire of our own. We have the smoke machines. We have the strobe lights. And if there is no sound of a mighty rushing wind, then the furnace is set to blow hot air. God save us from a synthetic Pentecost. Amen. In the meantime, other movements are aflame with zeal that defy persecution, prison, and even death. The fanatical zeal of communists in past days are individuals who lost no opportunity in order to preach their damnable doctrines, and in the process, they have put us as Christians to shame. Dr. Malik of Lebanon once made the statement, he said, I know the communist leaders, many of them by name, and I find them to be utterly devoted to their cause. But that is not true of most Christians that I know. And he said, why do you not press the battle to victory with the weapons God has given you, that is the heritage of the Christian faith? I'm reminded of that heritage when God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees and he gave him a promise that I'll make of you a great nation. And I will make you a blessing to all the nations of the world. And that was passed on to Isaac and to Jacob. And it came on down to Moses and to the prophets. Looking forward to the time that Jesus Christ would come, born of a virgin in the fullness of time in order to make atonement for the sins of all the world. Jesus Christ died as the Lamb of God that takes away our sin. They placed him in a barred tomb, but he didn't stay there long. On the third day, he was resurrected from the grave. Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights before his ascension to heaven. And during that time, he showed himself to the disciples on numerous occasions, groups of women, and over 500 brethren at one time. When Jesus, after 40 days, ascended back to heaven, the disciples were looking up into heaven when the angel said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus that you see going is going to come again in like manner as you've seen him go. We believe that because he lives, we can live. And brethren, that is the message that we have for a lost and dying world this morning. Because he lives, we can live. And because we live as Christians, we need to tell others that they can live as well. While the other isms seem like they're surging ahead, we're hearing today of a post-Christian era. That is, the professing church of today as a whole finds itself in a lukewarm condition, much like the church of Laodicea. The Lord said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. And I wish that we could say, well, that's everybody else, that's not us, but that's not true. You see, our Lord commands us to be boiling and to repent and do the first works. I'm here to tell you this morning that sometimes we get so caught up in the routine of coming to church and doing what we do, and we forget about really being what God wants us to be, and there's not that boiling, that desire to serve God out of a heart of love. We do it because we've always done it. God help us. I do not expect the total membership of our church, any church, to catch on fire for God. Most of the world is under communism or some kind of a socialistic government, but not all of these millions are devoted communists. The world was set on fire for communism by a little band, a dedicated minority who sold themselves out to Karl Marx and to the devil. But there's a corresponding Gideon's band who made such an impact for the cause of Christ. When too many are too many. Marshall Ferdinand Folk is reported to have said, the battle is won the day before. Now, the Gideon battle, and I think you know the background of the story, where that the Midianites were coming up against Israel. They were a young, fledgling nation of people. And the Bible said that their army was like the sands of the seashore without number. And so they mustered up the army. Gideon was kind of reluctant. He really didn't want to do it, but he felt like he didn't have a choice. God kind of pressed it on him. And so the Lord said, gather the army together. And when they got them all together, there was only 32,000 men against an innumerable host. And he started out with 32,000. God said, you've got too many. Too many of the kind that you have for the kind of battle that you've got to fight. A lot of times, Christians that we have gathered together have furnished their own interference. It's kind of like football players. Sometimes a blocker will get out in front of the running back and they'll break through the line of scrimmage and they'll head downfield. And maybe there's one or two others that he's got to block before the young man can cross the finish line or cross the goal line. And then the blocker some way gets in front of the runner and brings the runner down himself, furnishing the interference. We sometimes cannot reach the goal because of our own people, our own team. Humanly speaking, Gideon may have felt like that I just feel better if we had 32,000, Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to get in the fight, I want to kind of look and see who's behind me. I want to make sure I've got somebody there that's pretty good size, you know. Somebody you can depend on. But you know, this is what God didn't want to happen. He wanted them to learn to depend on him. And had he not already led them out of the land of bondage to the promised land, and God had provided for them all the way. But God says you've got too many of the kind that you have for the kind of battle that you have to fight. Well, sometimes God's ways are not our ways. And while there is more carnal security in numbers, the battle of the Lord is not won by statistics. There were statistics aplenty in the book of Acts. You remember that when they went out on the day of Pentecost, they didn't set a goal. They didn't say, we're going to go out and win 3,000 souls to God today. No, it was a result of their going out and preaching the word of God. God's word does the work. The Holy Spirit does the drawing. Sometimes we have found ourselves majoring on drawing of the net, and we have failed to sort the fish. When Gideon sorted the fish, there were 22,000 cowards. Now, I don't know how he did this, but I can just visualize that he came up and all 32,000 were standing there. But he said, if you had really rather go home and not fight, if you don't want to fight. And some of them may have said, well, we're lovers. We're not fighters. And if we can go home. When the dust settled, they stepped out, and there were 22,000 of the 32,000 that said, we really don't want to fight. That's where a lot of church folk are at today. They don't want to fight. They don't want to get out there and stand on some unpopular issue. They don't want to get out there and go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in that God's house might be full. You know, sometimes we like to go and when the bugle's blowing, we kind of got, yeah, that's great. Let's do it. And the flag's waving. But then when the battle time comes, you start looking around and 22,000 said, we're going home. We're going home. But you know, God said there's 10,000 left and you still got too many of the kind that you have for the kind of battle you've got to fight. And he said, I want you to take them down to the brook and I want you to let them get a drink and all of those that lap like a dog you place over here and the rest of them over here in this crowd. Now, I don't know just how, you know, I've watched dogs drink, but you know, I think what he's trying to tell us here is that a dog will lap, but he's got his eyes open on the horizon to make sure the enemy doesn't fall upon them unawares. And the Lord said, I'm going to take these careful, these courageous individuals, 300 strong, and with this 300, we're going to win the battle. Now, I don't know about you, but all but 300 of that 32,000 went to the house. They really didn't want to fight. It just kind of reminds me of the fact that God has a church, the electives. The church within the church, that without this group of people, the church would not go on. You see, we can kind of rest on our laurels a little bit because God's been good to us and he's blessed us. But we sit down on our backside and don't do anything and he'll take the blessings from us. While I'm meddling, let me say that here a while back, about a year ago, we voted to buy that house and that property. And everybody was excited about it, and the money came in, and we were making $2,000 a month payment, and we're still doing that, but we're taking it out of the general fund because there's a relaxing of the efforts. We all voted. Let's all get back in there and do what we need to do and get this thing taken care of. If we expect God to bless us, then we've got to keep our commitments. It is not just in money, but it's in service, you know? I mean, Sunday night and Wednesday night, the last few weeks, have not been so good. You need to be faithful. Just be faithful. I'm telling you, one of these days we're going to stand before God and we're going to account for the life that we've lived down here. And I want him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well, Gideon's army had a pitcher and had a torch in it. And God told him, he said, "Now I want you to get up around the mountain and line your men up, everybody in their place round about the camp." But you know, Gideon had to be encouraged. He said, "Now, Lord, I don't want to trouble you, but I'm still a little worried about this plan, you know." And the Lord sent them down to the edge of the camp where they could hear the Midianites. And they were scared to death of the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they were superstitious. And so that encouraged Gideon. He goes back up and he says, "The battle is ours. The Lord is going to fight the battle for us." And so at midnight, and brethren, it was a dark night. You couldn't hardly see your hand in front of your face. And all of a sudden at midnight, they broke those pitchers and all those torches all around the camp. And they cried out, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And I'm telling you, those guys, they didn't know who the friend was, who the enemy was, and they started fighting among themselves, and Israel won the battle without the loss of a single man. Only God can do that. Only God can do it. I want God's blessings on this church, but I don't want us sitting on our laurels and expecting God to continue to bless us. And we're not doing the work God's called us to do. You know, what can you do? Get out and invite folks to come to church. Get out and tell folks about the Lord. If you don't do it, the world will never be won. You will never reach this community. We will not reach this community as a church unless our people get out of their comfort zone, get out there among them, and invite folks to come in. Don't take no for an answer. Stay on them, because their soul is at stake. Well, every revival begins with a Gideon's band. The Revolutionary War had its minute men, and we need a nucleus of last minute men, because this world is coming to a screeching halt. We believe that Jesus is coming, and we believe that it's imminent. I don't know about you, but I'm just convinced this morning that it's not going to be very long. And if you'd have told me that 3 or 4 years ago, I'd have said, "No, that cannot be." But I'm here to tell you today that things are changing fast. And when I look in the scripture, I don't see anything that will stop the Lord from coming back today. 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 I want to be ready to meet him. And you know, I want to be able to come and bring trophies and lay them at his feet. And that's the trophies of lost souls that have been won to the Lord that we have helped to reach with the gospel message. Any Christian who seeks to find and follow God's program for these days must keep in mind several things. One, there is the promise of the Lord's return. The church missed the road some time back when she stopped looking for the kingdom to come. And we decided that what we needed to do was help the Lord build his kingdom. And we've done it through religious education, reformation, legislation. But I'm here to tell you, the visible kingdom will be set up only when the king comes back, and he's coming back. There's also the possibility of a great revival in these days. There have been awakenings like this in the past, and it's about time that we had another one. I believe we need revival. Yet revival does not have all the answers. It has been said that revival is like a sale in a department store. It is spectacular. It's exciting. There are bargains galore, but the main business in the day is the daily merchandising that goes on the year round. Pentecost was a great day, but steady growth came when God added to the church daily such as should be saved. And he multiplied the church, and he multiplied it greatly. When you read the headlines, the records, when they're all added up, it will be found that the main work of the church will have been done by faithful pastors preaching an ordinary gospel, ordinary day-to-day witnessing by ordinary Christians, and the steady winning of souls in Sunday school, in personal evangelism, and in the home. One of these days, God's going to ask us about our life down here. You know what he expects? Just be faithful. Just be faithful. In the third place, while we look for the Lord to return, and while we pray for revival, we can be faithful Christians day by day. Some who spend their time studying prophecy and praying for national revival find little time to work in the local church and to do the bidding of our Lord. There's one more thing we can do. We can start a crash program in this church. I'm not talking about a church down the road. This church. A crash program of a faithful few that's on fire for God. On fire for God. Let it not be forgotten that Gideon had many people at the outset. God does not want us to claim the credit for the victory. God is the one who gives the victory. We need to always remember that. I grew up in the country, and I remember the old pot-bellied stoves, and we had wood, and you know, it kind of reminds me, Dad would always go to bed when we were wanting to stay up, and he would get up when we wanted to stay in bed. But I remember, you know, getting the kindling wood together. We'd have a big backlog back there in the stove, but we'd put kindling wood. You can't start a fire with the backlog. You've got to have the kindling wood. And we would put the kindling wood in, and after a little bit, well, that fire would go to blazing, and it'd warm everything up. In fact, I remember I held revival out in western Oklahoma a number of years ago when I was at the college, and I stayed with this couple, an older couple, and anyway, they stuck me in a back room. All they had was wood heat. And there was not any of it that got back to my room. There was ice on the windows. And I wondered why she put me in there in a feather bed where you lay in it, and that thing just wraps around you, you know. And she had blanket after blanket on me. I thought, well, I'll get hot. No, I didn't get hot, you know. We had air conditioning in those days. But it's good to have some kindling wood in order to start a fire to warm you up. And that's what God wants of us, to be kindling wood. Kindling wood. That we might start that fire and that it might continue to burn and to glow until he comes. And that we'll have a harvest of souls. that we can present to him when he comes. I'm challenging you, Cornerstone Free Will Baptist Church, the people of this church, let's get up and get out among them and get on fire for God. And let's reach this lost souls of men. Harvest. Harvest time is here. You know, that's what fall is. It's harvest time, you know. Get out there and bring them in. One of these days we'll face God, and I'm going to tell you, he won't ask us, you know, if we've done this or we've done that. He'll ask us about our faithfulness. But he already knows the answer, doesn't he? Will you bow with me for prayer?